You're in open air, and this is the Rockin' Rhythm Review. Matt Masters will be your host while Jim Walsh is away at Transylvania University in Lexington, Kentucky, lecturing on the ancient Celtic festival of Samhain.
It is the greatest holiday of the year. Jack-o'-lanterns, haunted houses, tales of the macabre, horror movies, ghostly costumes, ghastly decorations, and trick-or-treating. A ritual where the bigness of your bag is the only thing between you and more chocolate. But my favorite slice of this great holiday is the music, and you may just be surprised at the bigness of my musical bag. So all you ghouls, goblins, ghosts, and gorgons, let's celebrate All Hallows' Eve with a three-part spooktacular Rockin' Rhythm Halloween review. We'll head off trick-or-treating in search of sonic treats to cram in our bags, and along the way, we'll race the devil, party at Frankenstein's, have dinner with Drac, rock in a graveyard, visit a haunted house, dig up an old flame, and who knows what else. Having a theater manager for a father, it was easy for young Bobby Pickett to fall under the spell of Universal's classic monster movies. And since imitation is the greatest form of flattery, Bobby's Boris and Bella intonations were dead on, when later, as a member of the vocal group The Cordials, Pickett would perform the spoken part of the Diamonds' Little Darlin'.
My darling, I need you to call my own.
As Boris Karloff. The overwhelming crowd response to this novelty in the wildly popular dance of 1962, The Mashed Potato, inspired Pickett to write the greatest ode to Halloween. It went straight to number one. From the recently departed, but never forgotten, Bobby Boris Pickett, this is Monster Mash.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Rex's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said,
whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool, Drac's a part of the band, and my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them Boris sent you.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
Mash good!
Easy, Igor, you impetuous young boy.
Mash good!
Monster mash good! Monster mash good! Monster mash good!
DuPonts were an otherwise unfamiliar doo-wop group from Brooklyn, if not for the fact that Anthony Gourdin was a one-time member. Anthony quit the DuPonts in 1957, changed his handle to Little Anthony, and hooked up with the Imperials. The DuPonts trudged on without Anthony and cut 1958's Screamin' Ball at Dracula Hall.
Poison and wine, where things crawled from under the sea, and witches cackled up a storm of fiendish glee.
We had a hoo-hara party. We had a hoo-hara party. Everybody had a screaming ball. Last night at Dracula Hall.
Count Dracula, well, bless my soul, took the thing from outer space and they did the stroll. The five-fingered beast at the time of his life and threw an atom bomb at Dr. Cyclops' wife.
We had a ooh-hara party. We had a ooh-hara party. Everybody had a screaming ball. Last night at Dracula Hall.
Clock struck 12. I hollered out,
"Police!"
That's when Jack the Ripper did his party piece. There was a whole lot of shaking till the sun came up. With one more scream, I woke up.
We had a ooh hard party. We had a ooh hard party. Everybody had a screaming ball. Last night at Dracula Hall.
The most Byzantine legacy in rock and rhythm history is likely that of Robert Byrd, a.k.a. Bobby Day. Although Day's biggest hit, 1958's Rockin' Robin, came as a solo artist, he fronted dozens of variant vocal groups. One such permutation was the Hollywood Flames, whom had the top 40 hit Buzz 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 in 1957. The next year, minus Day, they partied at Frankenstein's Den.
Takes you down,
down.
It's 40 floors beneath the crown. It's practicing in there. Oxygen is thin in there.
Frankenstein, you gotta dance.
Well,
you won't come out alive.
Calvanes were a revered L.A. doo-wop outfit that couldn't get a hit and seemingly couldn't agree on a name. They recorded as the Wonders, Dundees, and the Nuggets, but I'm just glad they agreed to record 1958's Horror Pictures. Coasters were the most successful novelty group in rock and rhythm, but only once did they stray into a paranormal premise. 1958's The Shadow Knows. Although the song utilizes the Shadow's iconic sinister catchphrase and cackle, the lyrics point to an obsessive, omniscient stalker, and that's just creepy.
And you can hide down in the alley with your head pulled over your eye. You can wear a wig or mustache or any old disguise. Well, you can change your name and your address, even change your style of clothes. But the
Shadow knows. The Shadow knows.
You thought you had me baffled. You thought I didn't know. But I know where you going, baby. Long before you go. You can't even snap your fingers or wiggle your toes without the
Shadow knows. The Shadow knows.
Stop your jiving and you messing around. Cause I know what you're putting, baby, long before you put it down. You better mind your P's and Q's and your M's and N's and O's, because the
Shadow knows. The Shadow knows.
Both both in homage and parody, Jimmy Cross's Odd Yet Hilarious, I Want My Baby Back from 1965, took dead aim at teen death songs like Teen Angel and Last Kiss. The flip side was a song called Play the Other Side, and was nothing more than the instrumental track, sans vocals and sound effects. I guess, how can you follow up a song that ends in implied necrophilia?
Hardly know where to begin. I remember we were cruising home from a Beatles concert. I'd had such a wonderful evening sitting there watching my baby screaming and tearing her hair out and carrying on. She was so full of life then. Well, we were about 3 miles from home when all of a sudden it started to rain. And I do mean rain. I couldn't hardly see nothing. Well, we kept driving for about another mile when all of a sudden I see this stalled car right smack in front of me. Well, I wasn't about to slam on the brakes because it didn't have none to start with. So I swerved to the left, and what do I see? Some mush head on a motorcycle heading right at us. And I knew at last, me and my baby were about to meet the leader of the... pack. Well, when I come to, I looked around, and there was the leader, and there was the pack, and over there was my baby, and over there was my baby, and way over there was my baby.
I want my baby back.
It's been many months now since that fateful night, and you know something, I've tried. Believe me, I have tried, but I just can't make it without my baby. So, I've decided I'm gonna have her back one way or another. Oh, baby, I dig you so much. Hot dang, pay dirt.
Poets were an LA quintet who got around to recording 145 for the Flash label in 1958. Vowels of Love was a bit of a hit, but the real trick was the flip, Dead.
There are far worse things waiting man than death.
Jekyll and Mr. Hyde was singing a dead duet while Frankenstein was out playing Russian roulette.
Ha, 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 ha. as I made my flight over, they were having a ball. I stumbled to the pad and I bolted my door. You'll never catch me walking to the graves no more.
In the summer of 1957, Screen Gems leased 52 classic Universal horror movies for television syndication under the package title Shock. With it arose dozens of late-night horror hosts around the country. Most of the early programs were thusly titled Shock Theater, and this played an important factor in the explosion of Halloween rock and rhythm after 1957. In New Orleans, Sid Noel assumed the role of Morgus the Magnificent, and some of the Crescent City's best musicians assumed the name Morgus and the Ghouls and paid their respects by recording an eponymous tribute in 1959.
On Saturday night, when I go for my date, my baby and I just sit and wait for
Morgus the Magnificent.
Don't go out to roll and rock. We get our kicks from the house and shop. He's got shaggy hair and a graveyard stare. Vampire blood spilled everywhere. That's
Morgus Magnificent.
We don't go out to roll and rock. We get our kicks from the house and shop. Want a thrill, turn the lights down low. Except for the ghoul, steal the show, see
Morgus the Magnificent.
We don't go out to roll and rock. We get our kicks from the house and shop.
Morgus the Magnificent.
We don't go out to roll and rock. We get our kicks from the house and shop.
Thanks for tuning in to part one of the Rock and Rhythm Halloween Review. Be sure to hold your breath for parts two and three next. Please send your Halloween greetings to WMET@mail.com. With the landslide of late-night horror hosts onto the airwaves, the most popular to rise from the grave was the cool ghoul John Zacherle, a.k.a. Roland, out of Philadelphia. Zacherle single-handedly ignited the Halloween song popularity of the late 50s and early 60s with his hard rock and top 10 hit Dinner with Drac, in, of all times, the spring of 1958. Backed by the Cameo label's hit instrumental house band Dave Apple and the Applejacks, Zacherle's initial version was deemed too ghastly by Svengoolie Dick Clark, so he recorded a nicer version. Subsequent 45s were pressed with a Part 1 designation for the original, and a Part 2 designation on the flip so Clark could sleep at night. Here's Part 1.
I am Dracula. I bid you welcome.
Dinner was served for three at Dracula's house by the sea. The hors d'oeuvres were fine, but I choked on my wine when I learned that the main course was me. The waitress, a vampire named Perkins, was so very fond of small gherkins. While she served the tea, she ate 43, which pickled her internal workings. The scalpels go on the left with the pitchforks. Igor, Igor. What a swimmer is Dracula's daughter, but her pool looks more red than an otter. The blood stains the boat, but it's easy to float, 'cause blood is much thicker than water. Things in Transylvania. For dessert, there was batwing confetti and the veins of a mummy named Betty. I first frowned upon it, but with ketchup on it, it tasted very much like spaghetti.